who's been the founder, being on the show before. And it's a really, really wonderful thing where you get to go up to Whistler. It's for women who move, so it's an opportunity to try very, very, very different things. Sometimes one of the misconceptions is it's all about fitness, which is, I want to burst that bubble tonight because there's some really fantastic other workshops that are there, as well as the truly amazing fitness ones too. So that's coming up on April the 27th, the 28th, and 29th. So I'm really excited because I've got a guest who I haven't had on the show for about maybe 6 months on tonight, who is a wonderful guest, and she is the wonderful, the lovely Allison Jones from Allison Jones and Associates, who's going to be up there this weekend doing an amazing workshop about emotional balance. Allison, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to be on the show again.
Well, we're really glad to have you. So it's wonderful. So tell us a little bit about your workshop.
Well, I'm excited about the workshop, and like you said, it's this is a a conference and a gathering of women that are movement and health of all kinds, right? And the workshop that I'm doing is called Finding Your Emotional Balance. So just like we have to find our physical balance, there's great benefit in finding our emotional balance as well.
Very much so, because if we're not in emotional balance, we're kind of all over the place. So I can only imagine it's, and we've all been there where it's all, we're all over the place.
Yes. Well, we are all human, right? And emotions are very human experiences. Right. So, I'm very excited to be presenting and being a part of the Ever Women's Conference this year. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be relevant. And I loved the way you introduced it by talking about it being for women who move. And movement isn't just physical. It's emotional. It's psychological. It's, it's the flow of life is movement.
Mm-hmm. No, very much so. And it's one of the things, because I know Carrie Carlson, the founder, she and her sister Lynn Kanuka, who is a bronze Olympian.
Right.
I know when I asked her one time, how did you start it? And she said to me, well, we basically, they're away for the weekend with, I believe, their mother as well. And they started thinking about what would be the perfect day, which for them would be getting up, going for a run, maybe doing a yoga class, having a great breakfast where there's some really wonderful conversation, taking a workshop so they get to grow like intellectually as well, maybe taking a Zumba class or some sort of a dance class, maybe a pole dance class, taking another workshop as well, and just in terms of like body, mind, and spirit. So things for emotional balance and everything. And through this, they've actually created this wonderful following of women who come from like the States. I've met people up there. It's going to be the first time in a while I haven't had a chance to go up, but so I'm envious that you're going to be there.
it's
amazing because I've met women there from LA. I've met people from just different parts of Canada. It's truly amazing, and it's wonderful getting to go up to the beautiful Whistler Mountain and really giving yourself a chance to play. And as we said, movement is more than just physical.
Yeah, and it's treating yourself to a special experience, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, it sounds like it's going to be a great time, and it's what I also really like about this conference, this workshop, this collection of interesting experiences is that it's aimed at all women of all sizes, all walks of life, and very welcoming.
Very much so. It's one of the most wonderful group of women that you get a chance to meet, and both the women who are attending as well as some of the instructors. There's some truly amazing people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get involved? Were you there before as a participant as well, or
well,
how did you?
I was up there last year, and a mutual friend had put Carrie and I in contact, and I'd heard of her, and she had heard of me, and we started talking about how fun it would be for me to be a part of it, and she was kind of excited about the ideas I was putting forward and then asked me to join in as a presenter this year. So I've been really excited about that, and it's great just to have an opportunity to get out and talk about some of the things that I'm really passionate about.
I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So What are some of the things that, because obviously I think most people as a human being, we have been out of whack. What are some of the key things that when you're trying to get yourself back into balance that are things to look at?
Well, what I find really interesting, and one of the things I want to explore deeper in the workshop too, is, it's finding balance doesn't mean being static or having everything completely even keel. Balance means being able to access both sides of yourself and utilize your weight appropriately, right? Like just like your two legs, you put your weight back and forth between those two legs, and that's what creates a physical balance. And it's the same thing with an emotional balance. We utilize the different aspects of ourselves. And when we become unbalanced is sometimes when we're, pulling on our weighted too heavily in one area, right? So we might get too lost in our emotions and we kind of let them to start to rule. And then things get a bit chaotic, right? And everybody's been there. Everybody's had those moments where, the emotions take over and start making, the decisions and it can get, it can lose its structure. Life can lose its structure. And we still need to balance. We need to balance a bit with the rational information as well.
And it can definitely be really challenging if you're in a relationship and your partner is really out of balance.
Yes. And, and it's interesting that you say that too, because, often relationships that, are, there's always going to be some, like I said, nothing's ever static. It's not completely weighted the same. But it's, in a healthy relationship, sometimes where you, or when you're a relationship that you're working on, you can balance each other a little bit. You don't have to be the same person. You don't have to have the same strengths. And oddly enough, sometimes when things are really working well, and even if your partner is out of balance, that's the time when you step up. That's the time when you, might take over a little bit or move forward in some way. And that can create a balance.
That makes sense. What happens if it starts to get to the point where you're basically sharing a lot of the load? And there's a lot of factors that can happen, in terms of why I can imagine that happens. Like, for example, big changes like getting married, death in the family, a loss of job, like just a lot of like big changes, having a child, all those kinds of things. Is there a way, like when they're, if hopefully they'll come and see you or someone who's got skill set like you, if they're from another area and they may not be able to come see you, but what are some key things, like in terms of just to start, we're recognizing hey, there's a problem and trying to move forward.
Right.
What's a delicate way to kind of broach that with the partner?
Well, and I think the thing is that when you feel like not just are you stepping forward, and everybody in a relationship wants to support the person they care for, and it actually feels kind of great to be a hero at times when you just step forward and you go, boy, that person needs me right now, and I'm going to step in there and carry the load for a while. But when it starts to feel like it's a constant burden, or there's this expectation, or one person feels entitled that the other person has to carry it, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's when things really get out of balance then, right? Because it's not just the natural ebb and flow, which is balance. It's one person feels like they truly are bearing the burden then. And the way within a relationship like that is that you have to get back to your own place and being true to yourself, checking back into yourself and how you're taking care of yourself. And sometimes it's setting limits in a loving and respectful way, but setting those limits. And like I said, nurturing yourself, being true to yourself, checking in on how am I taking care of myself. Am I compromising myself in a way that doesn't feel good anymore? Or, is this person, my partner here, stepping up and carrying, their part of the relationship, but maybe in a different capacity, and communicating that.
Why is communication so difficult for human beings?
Isn't that a great question? It's not that it's communication itself isn't so difficult in the sense that we do it all the time, but effective communication or productive communication sometimes is the challenge, right? Is that we, what happens is people are very, you know, where it goes wrong is when people get really defensive, right? When they feel like they're being critiqued and so they defend themselves or protecting themselves. It becomes very hard to learn new information or to grow when you're defending yourself. You know, the most effective communication is when you do trust yourself and trust your partner enough that you can maybe take some of those defenses down and just listen and try to be aware of what's going on for somebody else.
What are some steps to take to get to that point if, say, I'm starting a brand new relationship, say, hypothetically, and for listeners out there, I love my partner and we're together and I'm very happy, but let's just say hypothetically I'm single, and, you know, it starts off with the eye gazing, looking across the lineup at Starbucks, and I meet someone who I think could be really cool. Are there certain things that you can put into practice right from the get-go of a relationship so then that way, hopefully, as things evolve, that there's almost a pattern that works quite nicely?
Mm-hmm. Well, there always has to be some give and take in any relationship. That's the nature of it. And, in fact, if we didn't give and receive in a relationship, it wouldn't be much of a relationship. Like, so there will, that is part of a relationship and developing it, is you're going to be giving, you're going to be receiving.
Mm-hmm.
But there are pieces that you can put in place which are knowing what you will and what you won't compromise and understanding the difference between healthy compromise and something that just feels like you're compromising your sense of self. So in a relationship, you should not really feel like you're losing yourself. You should feel like you're gaining and getting to know yourself better. That's a great indicator. Being able to speak your truth in a way that is respectful to others but stays true to you. Being able to set those limits. Being able to tell somebody in a caring way what is working for you and what isn't working for you. Responding to feedback and trying to be open to learning about yourself in a relationship.
And I think that's one of the things is remembering it's still a journey.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Like when you were talking about the conference and the, you know, for women who move, right? Like it's a journey. It's all about the journey. It's all about the movement. And that's what's really exciting. Like right now at Elsa Jones and Associates, where we're really trying to bring together a program that is based on that, based on getting more out of your life, getting movement happening in your life, taking those opportunities and learning from them and being realistic and honest with yourself and living a pretty exceptional life.
And I think that's something that I guess I'm going to just throw this out there. I think sometimes we are under the misunderstanding, especially if we get into a relationship, that it has to be an elationship 365 days a year.
Right.
And I don't think there is such thing as being, I think you can be content, but I think it's healthy to definitely move, and especially through just the whole realm of emotions, because you need to grow.
Right. I love that, the elationship. That is great, because there's always an elevated period in the beginning of a relationship, but that, and it's nice to have some romance, but in the end, like I said, one of the principles of like the MORE program is reality. You got to deal with reality, and it's not going to all be elation. It is going to have its own balance to it, which is going to be times of high, but times of some low and difficult things. Life does actually have an inherent balance in it. We just don't always see it. And balance, like I said, doesn't mean everything is fair and evenly weighted. It means that there will be highs and lows, right? But it's learning how to utilize the different aspects and sides of ourselves.
And I think sometimes we forget that, especially when we're in an emotional curve.
Yes, and our emotions can send, you know, it can shut down some of our higher reasoning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And and that's okay. There's appropriate times for emotions, and there's appropriate times to feel emotional. That's not a bad thing. Without our emotions, we don't have the ability to really connect with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, emotions are connection, but it's also learning, when do I tuck in the emotions, and when do I bring out the higher reasoning? When do I bring out the more guarded self, the self that needs to collect information and understand what's going on here and, you know, maybe protect myself a little bit, because there's also appropriate times to do that. And that's the key right there, is knowing how, understanding both sides of yourself, and then knowing what that fulcrum is, that little piece inside that helps us utilize and pull on the different sides. So if I'm going into a room, if I'm in a courtroom, right, and I'm on the stand, it's probably a good time for me to have my higher reasoning engaged, because that's a time where I'm a little more vulnerable and I need to protect myself a little bit more. But if I'm sitting on the couch and snuggling with my partner and that's a moment for intimacy, I need my emotions.
And sometimes that's a fine balance.
Mm-hmm. It is, right? And what happens sometimes is, you know, like the equation I was giving, you know, maybe we're feeling really emotional when we're in that courtroom because we're really scared, right? But that's where when you learn to trust your resiliency and strength, you tuck in that part and you engage your higher reasoning. And that's when you're sitting on the couch with your partner, you might be sitting there analyzing and thinking about things, but you got to tuck that back. You got to push that back and bring in the connection and kind of say, I just want to be with this person. I just want to enjoy my connection with them. And you need your emotions for that.
We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to chat more about just being able to flow and balance emotions. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca. Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
212 Productions, Beach Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, The Kiss Store, Heart and Soul Clothing Inc., Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca.
Despite the fact that 8 in 10 Canadians are against warrantless and costly online spying, the government remains stubborn, set to cement this scheme into law. With their huge PR budget, they've unleashed a reckless and irresponsible campaign that suggests warrantless collection of our private data is on par with a phone book. We can't let them trick Canadians. Go to www.openmedia.ca now to find out what you can do to get involved and stop this smoke and mirrors campaign the government has started.
Are you interested in radio, but not quite sure how to get involved? CITR is the place for you. We are a volunteer-driven campus and community radio station with a variety of volunteer opportunities. Want to become an on-air programmer? Learn about promotions? Maybe become a news or arts reporter? Come learn about all the ways you can become involved at CITR. Volunteer orientations are held on the first Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m. If the first Monday falls on a statutory holiday, the orientation moves to the second Monday. Visit CITR.ca for more information.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking to the lovely Allison Jones from Allison Jones and Associates. And she's going to be up at Every Woman in the World, the conference that's up at Whistler this weekend, which is going to be a lot of fun. And she's going to be doing a workshop on emotional balance, which it's looking like that is filling up quite a bit. But I think if you come and I'm sure you might be able to squeeze in. So it's going to be a fantastic workshop. So I think it's really, really, really important. On the break, Allison and I were just chatting a little bit. And one of the things that we're mentioning is just the duality in regards to emotional balance. And I was joking to her, it's even more so where you've got double duo when you've got the emotional stuff going on and you've got two people. So it's huge. So Allison, if I could get you just to tell our listeners a bit about that, that'd be great.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk about these things, and it's fun to look at it and examine it and talk about it and celebrate it. And the thing with duality is everywhere. I mean, we've always had the yin and yang, right? This is the experience of life. There's the different aspects of us. You know, when we're talking about relationships before the break, and that's the yin and the yang too. The duality. We're pulled together in dual ways. And I think the thing is that one of the things that really strikes me is, like I was talking earlier, is this, that we really need to utilize both aspects of ourselves and understand that neither is good nor bad. It's both useful, and at times it can be get in the way. So like I was saying, that having that rational mind, having that guard in place, is actually a good thing. But if you're living a guarded life and you're just always guarded, you're going to have some troubles connecting with people and having truly intimate relationships, right? Whereas if you're living a life that's just in constant emotional flow, it's going to get filled with turmoil and chaos, right? So we need to have both sides of those. And that's when I talk about finding the emotional balance. That balance really between the two aspects of the self, and learning that, you know, our strength is there to help us understand and pull on the different sides.
Now that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And how do we, moving forward, are we able to make sure we stay in balance, especially when we get into relationships, and we have somebody else that we want to take care of? And I'm going to go a little Harville Hendricks on us, but in regards to, and for those listeners out there who may not be familiar, Dr. Harville Hendricks has several books about relationships, and he's got a theory called, and jump in if I'm saying this incorrectly, but the Imago theory, where we basically sometimes are attracted to people because there's traumas that we've had, especially in our first formative years, like usually through our parental or guardian relationships, that we're trying to basically fix. And if it's a healthy relationship, because we're reflecting back that image, that we just see, we repeat, which is why sometimes when you're with somebody and sometimes you're just like, oh my gosh, I keep dating the same person over and over and over again. Why isn't anything changing? And it's because that's what we're projecting onto that other person. And maybe I've got that wrong, but just basically, how do we stay in balance with all that stuff going on? Because it can be hard.
Yes. And you know, I think that's great. And I'm really glad you brought that up and illustrated it too, because with the Harville Hendricks stuff. It is really about sometimes, you know, in relationship, there is great capacity and potential to heal some of these attachment wounds we have, right? We all have our own little wounds, and we have some bigger, some little, but, you know, maybe pieces that as we grow up and our attachment, our relationships where we got hurt, and we do kind of, when we get into our adult relationships, people do have patterns, and they often do pick somebody who provokes these things in them. And I believe that if people mature, if they're willing to kind of examine these things and mature and become aware of this emotional balance, I'm talking about kind of the balance between the rational thinker and the intuitive self too, that you might, in fact, it can kind of make you or break you, right? It's that kind of pattern that if you work on it and you get enough trust in yourself and in the relationship, you actually can work through those things and heal those old wounds, or sometimes they can kind of break you too. That's the thing. It's always a potential. It's an opportunity, right? And remember when I was talking about the Moore philosophy, you know, M-O-R-E, one of them is O for opportunity. It's always an opportunity. Relationship is always an opportunity.
I think that's one of the things we want, though, too, is that opportunity. We want to heal. We want a happily ever after. Yeah. And just trying to figure out that relationship isn't a happily ever after. It's a lot of work, but there's, as you said, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for some great joy, some contentment, and hopefully a lot of intimacy and passion.
Yes, and it's also, you know, fasten the seatbelt because it's going to be painful too.
It's
like,
very true.
And that's the reality check, right? Is we want an intimacy and closeness, but why we think we would get that without experiencing some pain as well, that's a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more close you are to somebody, the more vulnerable you feel, the more potential you fear loss, the more sometimes they have capacity to hurt you because you have to open up more. But that is the way of it. Like, you know, you don't get intimacy without some vulnerability. They come together. And we still want to think it's all going to be this big romance. And romance is great and it has its place and it can be really fun, right? Mm-hmm. And we need to have fun and we need to play with that romance. Like we, you know, say, romance to me, you know, is the icing on the cake. But the cake is the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I'm just trying to visualize a life without relationships, and I just can't fathom it.
We're not meant for that. We're not, you know, humans are meant, we are social creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We are meant for relationships. But the relationship we need, and I know this sounds very cliche, very counselorish, but, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, trying to be a bit of the rebel counselor in my own way because I want to speak what I think is actually truth, but in the end, we do need to kind of figure out our relationship with ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Well, it starts with dating. Well, actually, not even dating, marrying yourself, isn't it? Because
mm-hmm.
you're going to be with yourself until you
yeah.
die.
Because you are going to be with yourself whether you like it or not.
Yes.
For the rest of this lifetime. And get to know yourself. And that part I was saying earlier when we were talking, I was talking about being true to yourself, right, in relationship. Part of finding a balance in a relationship is not looking at for everything in the other person, it's learning to be true to yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? If you know yourself, you can be true to yourself. If you can collect yourself, you can collect somebody else. And that's what I was also talking about with finding emotional balance. Sometimes we have to take a little time and collect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can work on collecting our partner.
Yes.
But let's collect ourselves first. Let's take that moment, take that breath, and it can come in a lot of different ways for people. It can come in talking. It can come talking to a counselor. It can be talking to a friend. It can be doing yoga. It can be going for a walk. It can be writing in your journal. It can be writing a story on your computer. It can be, you know, doing some breathing, relaxation. It can be cooking in the kitchen. You know, these are, there's all sorts of wonderful ways to collect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important to give ourselves permission to explore what those are, because what works for one person may not work for someone else. And it's okay that if something doesn't work for one person.
Right, and try it. And if it doesn't work, that's no problem, right? And that's why this conference is great, because it's filled with all these opportunities to try different things. And you can go to your Zumba class and you can go, wow, I love that. Or you might find, you know what, maybe that's not for me. Or you might try something different, or you might come to my workshop and say, that was really interesting. Or it might not be, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you try it and you find out. And in many ways, that's what this conference to me, when I look at it, is about, is, you know, a lot of women connecting with each other, but also collecting themselves and being in the moment, and being present and moving and taking that opportunity, you know, and being real with yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're not real with yourself, who are you going to be real with?
Well, that's the thing. And a lot of people aren't real together. They're not living that authentic life. And it does require you to be honest with yourself and real with yourself. And that's not an easy thing. I don't say it lightly because I know it's a challenge. There's things we don't always want to see, or, you know, we've had a disagreement with somebody and we're all charged up and emotional, but we don't really want to talk about the part where we messed up.
Yeah.
But if we can do that, and earlier you asked about, you know, how do you, what are some of the tools you can use? And I was talking about being non-defensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
As possible. That's hard to do, but if you can kind of just let the defenses go and go, guess what? You know, I'm going to be okay. I'm strong enough. I'm resilient enough. I can bounce back from whatever's here. I can learn from this opportunity. I can learn from this mistake. I can learn from this experience that I'm having.
And I think that's really, really key, is what can we learn so then we don't do the same thing over and over and over again and wonder why we're feeling absolutely crazy, which it is crazy to keep repeating things if we're not learning.
Well, and people do that, and that's where we get the patterns. And, you know, you can put a lot of energy into repeating things. But you know what I say? Is I say that I kind of see those things, again, as opportunities, but they keep coming back, and that's why they repeat, because their life keeps providing opportunities for you to learn your lesson. The thing is that they get bigger and costlier each time they come back. So when you are repeating it again and you haven't really learned the lesson, it kind of costs you more and more and more and more.
Why is that? Is it because we numb ourselves to it, so it takes longer to feel when it's an impact, or?
Well, it's the numbing and the distancing, and it's not wanting to be honest with oneself, right? And it's the defensiveness.
Mm-hmm.
If we're really not that defensive, and we actually have a solid sense of ourselves and we can hang on to ourselves, it's not that threatening when we make a mistake or something didn't go well. And we can kind of go, okay, gee, you know, I've been a little humbled here. Not the end of my world. Been humbled before and I survived before. Mm-hmm. That's the resiliency and strength I was talking about that we need to kind of help us create the balance.
Yeah.
Right? Is, and then it's not so, we figure out, wow, you know what? I can survive this and it's okay. I didn't, you know, even if I did lose a little face, I didn't fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if I did fall apart, guess what? I got it back together again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's the strength we get from, you know, these experiences and opportunities that are offered us.
That's really, really, really true. And I think it's a really important to remember that every time we start feeling stuck in something, that we can change things, because each second is a new moment.
It is. And it's a decision.
And it may not feel like it at the time when we're right and smack in the middle of it, because we're in reactionary mode.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. It's always a decision. It is a new moment, and it's always an opportunity. And, you know, the part that gets to be up to us is what we're going to do with that. And not every single opportunity is going to be at a heightened experience, because it's very hard to live in constant heightened state.
That'd be exhausting.
We all need to chill out and relax and, you know, just like be a little easy on ourselves too. But when it's important, let's pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If we find ourselves in that state where we're basically smacking our head up against a wall, and especially in the relational field, what are some of the things we can do just to deal with stuff so we're not feeling like we're in flight or fight syndrome and just having cortisol levels up to the yin-yang?
Right. Right. Well, it is. There's solid and practical things, very simple. But, I mean, when you are activated, mm-hmm. you know, you want to try to maybe do some things to deactivate yourself. It is one of the simplest, easiest is going back to breathing and doing what they call square breathing, which is almost like sort of taking the breath in, holding it very briefly and letting it out again. And just that brings, you know, your body chemistry back in line. It's actually very hard to maintain a high level of agitation when you're breathing slowly and deeply.
Mm.
So as simple as it sounds, people forget to do that.
And Very much so.
Yeah, and if you do that, if you take that breath and you tell yourself, take a breath, you know, when I'm at my most agitated, something's going on for me and I'm just, Allison, take a breath, right? I take the breath and, you know, and I kind of bring myself back down again, then I can start to think. Again, now I'm engaging that other side of me, right? Because to just operate with that heightened level of emotion at this point isn't going to probably serve me well. If I am, like when you said it, there are times we need to engage our fight or flight, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm in a physical danger, I need that. Or if I'm in a situation where I need to have the alert sent to me, yes, you know, I need it. But I don't want to, you know, be having myself so pumped up that I'm not taking in all the information that's going on around me. Because
mm-hmm.
I need that for my safety, too.
That's true. Because if we're not feeling safe, we can't be empowered in any way, shape, or form. Because it's almost, I'm going to go back to the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because mm-hmm. And it's interesting because at the very base of that pyramid is air.
Right, it is.
So it's kind of funny, actually, if I really think about that, not just food and water. So you need
air.
It's
always about that. That's the number, like, really think about it. That is life. I mean, we got to be breathing to be living.
Yes, we do.
You know, I mean, there's some things we can do without in our body, and it can really impair us in some ways to have to do without certain things. Mm-hmm. There's some things that can be, you know, healed, or we can adapt in some way. But boy, you got to be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right down to that. And each breath is each moment. And that's what we got in that moment, right? And, you know, so we've got to kind of remind ourselves of that and the value of that. And of course, we take it for granted. We don't think about it because you can't think about those things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain times, like I said, when you're activated, you know, pay attention to your breath. And another thing is, you know, when I talked earlier about writing in a journal or writing down, you know, when I'm working with people sometimes, and let's say they're dealing with something difficult and very emotional to them, right?
Mm.
Sometimes I'll give them a pad and paper and get them to start jotting down words because it engages a different part of the brain now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I bet my gut's telling me with the age of iPad, iPhones, etc., actually physically sitting down with a pen in hand and actually putting pen to paper probably isn't being done as much as it probably should be done.
You can engage the same thing.
Okay.
With your iPad or your iPhone, like you can. That is not. It's the same piece of your brain that's being engaged.
It requires something
of your brain mm-hmm. to form those words. And that piece of your brain that's being activated at that time will deactivate some of the emotions in order to operate on that higher level of reasoning. And when I say higher, I don't mean better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that's just the way it's referenced, right? Because it requires a different mechanism in the brain. You're not going way back to the old brain where we get a lot more of the emotional charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going into another part of your brain now. So there are things that are not that hard that are actually fairly easy and accessible. So if you don't have a pen, you know, there's something comforting sometimes in a pad and a paper or whatnot. But if you don't, pull out your iPhone or pull out your iPad and take some notes on it. It will calm you.
Mm-hmm.
It will calm you, right? It will help prepare you. It will calm you, right? And it's hard to stay in that level of agitation,
mm-hmm.
right? But the thing I do want to say, you know, because when I'm talking about emotions and, like I said, they're important and they are powerful and they're the thing that gives us the vitality and connection. But they also, I mean, our emotional self is very linked with our It is our intuitive self. It is the part that knows things, that has that deep intuitive sense, right? And our rational mind, as much as it is, you know, maybe engaging the higher reasoning, it is more the information gatherer.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, that solid intuitive self, that know thyself, is the place where some of the deepest and most important decisions are made. Right? When we feel it in our gut, when we know it. And I've talked to so many people that after they've been through something difficult, or they maybe were in a situation that they were either physically, emotionally harmed in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
They knew in their gut they weren't safe, but they kind of walked into it. And part of it is learning how to manage that feeling and listen to that feeling in our gut too, right? Yeah, it's very powerful.
It is, and I think we forget about that sometimes, just how powerful that is.
It is like, to me, it's the golden nugget. It's the piece that knows the best. It's the piece that, no matter how reasonable I am, you know, how much I reason something, you know, sometimes it's the feeling in my gut that's given me the, you know, that's the place where I really have, you know, the decision or the information is right there.
Is there a reason why we feel it there? I always describe that in terms of the chakra system as my swamp of emotions, but is there like a physiological reason why we feel that? And usually that feeling is just so bang on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Nobody really fully understands that, do they? I mean, the great thing is we're understanding body chemistry and brain chemistry and all sorts of things better in the, you know, sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous systems and all these kind of things. It's interesting stuff, but you know, we don't really always know why we say that or think that or feel it there.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of do.
Yeah.
We kind of feel it in that place. And one of the things I try to do with the clients that I work with or the students that I teach or, you know, workshops that I'm running is trying to get people to kind of get a sense of that feeling of intuition again. And sometimes we have to lower the volume on all the other kind of clutter so we can get back there and kind of go, you know what? I walked in that room and right away I kind of thought, whew, I'd like that person. I'm drawn to them. I feel good here. That person, not so much, you know, because it's an intuitive feeling and it might be that's what was leading. And when you go against your intuition, later, you often know it. You kind of go, wow, that didn't work so well.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's very, very, very true. And that's when we're smacking ourselves and going, oh, you know, I should have known better. And then we make it worse because we beat ourselves up about it.
Well, and there's no need for that, right? Mm-hmm. Really, that's when I keep talking about that whole more philosophy, is that's an opportunity. It didn't work well. Awesome. It didn't work well. Now I can learn.
Yeah.
That was the opportunity. But if we just beat ourselves up, that's an excuse not to learn.
Okay. That makes absolute sense.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to take a really quick short break. And when we come back, I'm going to be asking you more about all this stuff because it's wonderful.
Yay.
You're listening to I love it. Mm-hmm. We're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Vancouver will be twirling its tassels for the seventh year in a row when the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival takes to the stage May 3rd to 5th at the Rio and Vogue Theatres. There are more international performers this year than ever before, including the current reigning queen of burlesque, Miss Indigo Blue, and the boylesque sensation, Jet Adore. The festival has variety acts, live music, comedians, and burlesque all together in three nights of the sexiest and most entertaining weekend of the year. Tickets are available from northerntickets.com or visit the festival website at vanburlesquefest.com.
And we are back at Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. So if you're just joining us right now, I'm speaking to the wonderful Allison Jones, and we've been chatting about emotional balance. And just before the break, we're chatting about gut instincts, and as well as that, just why it's so important to listen to your body. It's really key, which leads us back right back to the Every Woman in the World conference, which is coming up this weekend. And Allison's going to be doing a workshop on emotional balance, which is quite cool. And that's on the Saturday, the 28th, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is in the morning, and which is always an awesome time. It's like I'm just feeling very lucky that I got that great time, right? Because it's going to be in the morning, and it's going to be a great time for us to get ourselves kind of centered and aware of our capacities and ready to go and enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a really wonderful experience. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be relevant. Right? Fun and relevant. Boy, that's nice when we can do those things together.
I think so, too. Are you participating in the entire conference?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to be in there, you know, once I'm done my part, I'm going to be out there experimenting and experiencing all sorts of other new, exciting things, do a little physical, do some other, workshops with people that are maybe a little bit more similar to mine, and I'm going to stretch out in other ones and stretch out physically, and I'm looking forward to trying a lot of different things.
Yeah, for everybody who is listening who may have just tuned in, we're chatting about the Every Woman in the World conference that Allison Jones will be teaching the workshop about emotional balance. And it's a really wonderful opportunity to get away from the city, get to connect with some really amazing women, try some fantastic workshops, everything from, say, Zumba, to there's a burlesque workshop, which will kind of get you in gear for the burlesque festival that's coming up, and some wonderful things. I know Brita McLaughlin, who's a life coach, is doing a workshop there. There's ones about sexuality. Lynn Kanuka is doing a couple workshops as well about walking and running, and there's lots of wonderful yoga classes and just so many great things to try.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as that, there's lots of vendors. I know I've gotten my tarot cards done while I've been up there before. And it's just a really great chance to really give yourself a chance to play, a chance to explore, and literally and figuratively a chance to move.
Absolutely.
So what would you like to get out of this this weekend? And if people are coming to your workshop, what would you, if basically... I'm chatting to you on Monday, and I asked you, so Allison, how'd the weekend go? What would you like to both you personally like to get out of it, and then what would you like people who are taking your workshop to get out of it?
Well, that's a great question. You know, what I personally for myself, it is always I love to I'm passionate about what I do, and I love to have the opportunity to talk and connect with other people, and I hope that people that are coming to my workshop maybe get a little bit more of an understanding of, maybe their own kind of self-expression as well as self-management, mm-hmm. self-awareness, and that they get curious about getting more out of their lives. And I believe this is an amazing journey. Like you said earlier, it's a journey and a gift. And I'm a strong believer in, okay, this is what we have. Well, how do we get the most out of it? How do we get more out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm hoping to give people a little bit of a taste of that, a little taste of more, and get them curious about it and get them thinking about it. And for me, I guess I want to experience more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I guess I want to create a curiosity about more, and I want to experience more. And that's part of, like, at Allison Jones and Associates, we believe in that. We believe in, how do we help people get more? It's not all about problems. People might have some challenges and problems that bring them in, but we're going to give them a little more. We're going to give them a little more when people come, and we're going to help them hopefully understand a little bit more mm-hmm. about their lives.
And for people who may be confused as to what coaching is versus what you do, would you be able to just speak to that? Just because I know coaching has been kind of a buzzword, and it is different. So I just want, just so people understand just the differences and why each are important. So
that is a wonderful question. I was at an event recently, and that exact question came up, and I. It wasn't me actually who responded, but I ended up responding because I felt like I wanted people to understand, because counseling is part of my passion is helping people understand, get a fuller idea of what it actually is, right? Mm-hmm. And counseling and coaching are very similar in many ways. And I'm a big supporter of coaches, and I've utilized coaches, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's great, right? And coaches do tend to be, a little bit more short-term and kind of very strongly goal-focused, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But counseling where, you know, isn't just focusing on the past, is focusing on some of the patterns, mm-hmm. right, and how they've been developed, and maybe, like I said earlier, healing some of those, you know, attachment wounds along the way that we have,
mm-hmm.
so that we're really fully prepared to take what we got and go forward with it, have that movement piece I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just based at business. It's not just based in your parenting relationship, in your relationship with your partner or your friendships. It's trying to be all-encompassing, pervasive, mm-hmm. right? So it's a little bit more wide-reaching,
okay.
right? But like I said, with coaching, it's a little bit more focused on a specific goal. But those are great complementary practices, and understanding that can be very beneficial, being able mm-hmm. to utilize those services. And somebody who's a great business coach or personal growth coach can really get you going on something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also being open to understanding that sometimes those patterns that developed in the past are going to inform what we're doing in the future too.
That's very true. And as I was joking about, and not quite joking, but just how we date the same person sometimes over
yes.
and over, that can be, or marry the same person depending on who
yes.
you are.
So, yes, it's true.
I've seen that.
Right? But like I said, that's the opportunity keeps getting presented. Are you going to get it this time? Are you going to mm-hmm. transform it this time?
That's a really great way to describe that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So after the conference, which if listeners out there, check out everywoman.ca if you want to take a look at the conference and all the wonderful things and get away to Whistler this weekend. But Allison, what's next for you after this? You're going to have this awesome weekend where you get to play yourself
yes.
as well as educate.
Yes.
And then what's next?
Well, that's a great question, and thank you for asking. I've got to say, I've got some really exciting things happening right now. At the practice, we're in the process of really developing and the MORE program,
okay.
right? So that it's something that, you know, from the time people call us when they're working with the counselor that they're working with, that they're going to find that they're getting a little bit more out of that experience. And we are the largest counseling agency in the Lower Mainland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I am really wanting us to assist people in getting that more out of their life and understanding that we know what we're doing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece that I'm so excited about and I'm in the process of is I'm writing a book. And
in fact,
the emotional balance is, in fact, going to be a chapter in the book, right? Because
okay.
it's one of the principles of how to get more out of your life. And so I'm well into my writing, and I'm having an amazing time. I'm loving it because it's bringing, for years I've had people say to me, Allison, you should write a book, you should put this all down, you should bring this all together. And I've had so many requests to do that, and to now be in the process of doing it is just so much fun. I'm very excited about that.
When can we expect that?
When I'd love to have it all wrapped up and ready to go and be out there is maybe early next year, 2013,
mm-hmm.
By spring. That's what I'm really hoping for, and it's moving along quite well. So I'm pretty optimistic that, that who knows, maybe in a year we'll be having a conversation about the book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm excited to share it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited too, because that's fantastic. And it'll be great to have that as well. And we'll definitely have to have you back on for that.
Mm-hmm.
And any last words you'd like to give to our listeners?
Well, I just really encourage people. And first of all, I just want to thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I love doing a show, and it's always so much fun just to spend this this time with you and exploring all these things. And I really want to encourage people that, you know, you started out by talking about it being about movement, and this is an opportunity. Look for, you know, if you can come to the conference, great. If you can come to the workshop, terrific. But, you know, there's always opportunities for movement and choice. And just look around and just take a step, whatever step it is. Mm-hmm. Take a step. It's a, you know, because you're going somewhere.
Yes.
Right?
That's so true. And I think that's something that we need to all remember. And for people who want to reach and get in contact with you and find out more about Allison Jones and Associates, how can they reach you?
Thank you. Yes, I'm so pleased because sometimes I get so busy talking about everything else that, you know, those practical pieces. But people can either call the office, which is, and I'll say the number a couple times just in case, is 604-926-6665. That's 926-6665. But in our day and age, a lot of people really like to go to the website where they will get more information. And that's easy. That's just AllisonJones.ca, but it's AllisonJones,
mm-hmm.
all in lowercase, AllisonJones.ca. And you'll be able to see our profile and get a better sense maybe of who we are and what we're doing.
Which I think is fantastic. And then that way people can keep up as you're creating more and more opportunities.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. And that, and the more program that I'm talking about, we will be, there'll be more pieces coming with that. It's going to, you know, in the next couple of months, we're going to see some really exciting things unfolding, and the website will be reflecting that.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. And I'm looking forward to, I wish I will be there in spirit for everyone in the world. And just give a huge hug to Lynn and Carrie for me and everybody else who's up there. And
thank you.
I one of these days, hopefully, I will get to actually finally meet you in person, which would
That'd be great. We will do that.
Which would be wonderful.
Okay.
And enjoy. So, and up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Vancouver will be twirling its tassels for the seventh year in a row when the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival takes to the stage May 3rd to 5th at the Rio and Vogue Theatres. There are more international performers this year than ever before, including the current reigning queen of burlesque, Miss Indigo Blue, and the boylesque sensation, Jet Adore. The festival has variety acts, live music, comedians, and burlesque all together in three nights of the sexiest and most entertaining weekend of the year. Tickets are available from northerntickets.com or visit the festival website at vanburlesquefest.com.